It takes one of our elders to read all those names, doesn't it? Aren't you glad I didn't ask you? It's gracious. Does anyone ever feel like sometimes their life is just a little bit too busy? Like sometimes there's like too much going on all the time. Time's flying by. 124 days till Christmas. Just saying. Pressures, demands, expectations, tasks can pull you in all kinds of different directions. Obligations will assault our schedules. Do this, be there, finish this, call them. Oh, don't forget another doctor's appointment. Don't forget the kids' practice, the boss's deadline, the spouse's desires, party at the neighbor's. It can seem like everybody wants something from us all the time. Church committees, if you get involved. Pastor wants to come for a visit. Friends, family, employer, schools, clubs. Oh, don't forget there's bills to be paid. Pay this, pay that. Everything's more expensive than it ever used to be. And, oh my God, did he just say 120 days till Christmas? Sometimes there can seem like there's little left to give. We can certainly run out of time, any length of time. We can find ourselves rushing right on through life, attending to the immediate, the critical, the urgent. And the urgent will often take precedence over that which is important. We get to define, though, what is urgent in our lives. We get to define what's important. Do you realize we all have the same amount of time today? You have no more time than I do today. So when you say, I ain't got the time, I ain't got the time. You ain't got the time. We all got the same amount of time. Your days are numbered. But today, this moment, we all got the same amount of time. We can utilize that. See, our problem is not the volume of our demands or even all the life skills that are required in practicing and putting together our schedules. The problem lies in our values. What is truly important to us? Our values and our priorities are reflected in how we use our resources. So what are your resources? I got a certain amount of time. We all got a certain amount of time. We all got a certain amount of money, as limited as that might be. We all got a certain amount of skills. We have some skill sets. Some people have other skill sets. But we all have resources. God has resourced us with enough. But how are we expending our resources of time and energy and money? How are we expending those? We get to choose. Over 25 centuries ago, the voice of Haggai was calling out to the men and women, and he was calling them out in our scriptures to right priorities. Haggai knew what was important and what had to be done. The kingdom of God's people had to respond. You see, the picture is 50 years earlier, the Jews were taken captive and brought to Babylon. And so there's a whole 50-some-odd thousand Jews held and captive in Babylon. They missed Jerusalem. They missed Israel. They missed their homeland. They were picked up and taken and brought. And then there in Babylon, a new king comes into rule. And that king says to all those Jews, you may go back to your land. Go back to Jerusalem. Go back and build your temple. Go back and worship your God. Basically, get away from me. Go back over there. Stop infiltrating our city. Go make your own over there. Well, hallelujah. Praise be to God. We all get to go back home. We all get to go back and rebuild and reclaim and reestablish ourselves and build up a nation. And they had big dreams, high hopes, praised God for a little while. Once again, somewhere along the way, they forgot about what was important. They lost what was valuable. They had misplaced their priorities. See, what ended up happening was God became second place. Decades after their return back, the temple still stood in ruins. Or should I just say, still was in ruins. While they lived in beautiful paneled houses, and Haggai called them on it. So here's your first slide. See, the reality is that the secular had replaced the sacred. That the busyness of everyday life replaced the thoughts and the value of eternal life. So let me ask you that question. How do you feel about a prophet, a minister, or even a pastor that challenges you in your priorities? A pastor, a prophet, a minister who challenges you in your way of living. Where you invest your time, where you invest your money, where you invest your energy. How do you feel about someone calling you to do things God's way? I believe a good shepherd is going to challenge you. I would think you would want someone to coach you in that regard, to encourage you to want to get better. A good shepherd is someone that will walk with the sheep as well, right? Lead the sheep, not drive the sheep, but lead the sheep. He'll walk with you through the storms as well. See, the deeper issue is not the rebuilding of the temple. The deeper issue is about restoring and rebuilding the heart that makes God first, that makes God a priority. You get the heart right, all the other things fall into place. You get the heart right, behavior follows. You get the heart right, there's joyfulness. You get the heart right, there's generosity. You get the heart right, they'll be serving. You get the heart right, patience just flows out of them. You get the heart right, the character of God will be displayed in their lives, and the fruits of the Holy Spirit of God will be displayed. You get the heart right. Are you building your own life with the sacred in mind or the secular? Are you building your lives with eternity in mind or just that which is temporary, that will rust and fade and die? It's quite simple and fairly easy to get pulled away from that which really, really matters. It's easy to get sidetracked. And listen, Haggai here is not even, he's not preaching to a group of victorious leaders that have come back from conquering. No, no, no. He's not even calling people to repentance. He's just saying, you've neglected God. While you're busy taking care of yourself, you've ignored me. Haggai was speaking to a remnant that was returning from an exile, from being held captive, and going back to rebuild. They were excited to return, but they had a heavy burden to see all the destruction that was there. A massive amount of destruction. Think Gaza Strip. Think the fighting in Ukraine and the cities that you see devastated. That's what they were walking into. That's what they had to overcome. This is just not about stones and mortars. This is about all the jubilation that they had, all the excitement that they had met with the reality of ruins. All the dreams that they could picture in their head met with nothing but destruction. See, folks, here's your next one. To be reborn means that there had to be a death. We all love to say, yeah, me, I'm born again, been reborn. That means something in you died. They're dealing with the daily grind of survival and trying to start over to be reborn, if you will, to create a life. And aren't we all? Aren't we all trying to deal with the daily grind of survival amidst sometimes all the ruins? Faith is challenged in the hardship of rebuilding. Haggai calls them to action, not just action in piling up stones and building a temple or paying the bills. He calls them to action to rediscover God. He calls them to action to see what the Lord will show them, to see how the Lord will lead them, guide them, provide for them. The message of Haggai is about a faithfulness to God. It's how God wants his people to honor him and to glorify him so that he may bless them. This is not about a priority or a prosperity teaching. This is about priorities. It's not about prosperity. It is more, though, if you please God, he will bless you. If you don't, he won't. And this is not about earning your salvation. You cannot do anything to earn your salvation. It is finished. It is accomplished. Jesus has won your salvation. It's about now you not claiming your salvation, just claiming your salvation, but becoming a disciple of God. It's about putting him first in our lives and letting God lead rather than you taking the lead and asking God to bless. See the difference? This takes conviction and priorities. There's your next one. So, hands up who thinks they're God. Haggai underlines this very clearly. Give careful thought to your ways. Some clearly think that they are God. They do what they want, act like they want. They are gods of their own making. They are gods of their own priorities. They are gods of their own schedules. And they schedule that which is not important, but that which is urgent, that which is pleasurable, that which more than meets survival. We're in a pleasure-based society. And so pleasure and entertainment is high priority for us. And God gets kicked aside while we entertain ourselves. Give careful thought to your ways. See, the people were in danger of forgetting God. They were in danger of turning to their own ways, missing God and all that he wanted for them. This is a heart problem. There's a disconnect between faith and conduct. The disconnect between faith and conduct. James would say it very clearly. You say you have faith, I have deeds. And faith without deeds is dead. Meaningless, it's dead. You say you have faith, but you do not live as if you do. You say you pray, but no one ever hears you. You say you give, but the church has no account of it. You say you love, but your social media just screams hatred and political satire. Too often we're trapped in a cycle of unfulfillment, wrestling in the secular world, investing in the temporary with limited returns. We toil relentlessly with nothing to show for it. The challenge is to realign our lives with God's purposes. It's a heart thing. God wants us dependent upon him, not things. God wants us to love him. Not ourselves. We're supposed to be dead and reborn. Haggai's calling them on it. Give careful thought to your ways. Listen, you planted much, but you harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have you fill. You put on clothes, but you're never warm enough. You earn wages only to put the money in a purse that has holes in it. You have all you need, yet you're wallowing in misery. You have all you need, yet you're wallowing in all your frustration and all your confusion. Why? Because it's not. God's house still remained in ruins. Their houses were palaces. They lived in luxury, and yet they justified themselves. the time has not yet come to build God's house. Or, you know, it seems like it's in rubbles and it's in ruins. And, you know, the task, it's just too great. Or, I don't have enough resources. I don't have enough resources to be able to contribute. Excuses that did not set well with God, because they lived in their paneled houses and they had plenty. They prioritized their own comfort, their own entertainment, and their own selfishness. I couldn't leave the church, but look, I got my nails done. I can't help the church, but look at my new cell phone. I couldn't possibly tithe, but I got the NFL channel, the Peacock. I got YouTube, Netflix, Paramount Plus, and hey, concert tickets next week. People have time for all the things that they want. People have all the money for all the things that they want. And God takes a back burner. And he's calling them on it. And maybe today he's calling you on it. You expected much. You expected much from God. But it turned out to be little. It turned out to be little what you brought home. Why? I blew it away. I blew it away. Because my house remains in ruins. Because your priorities are not set correctly. While each of you is busy with your own home and your own entertainment and your own, you're neglecting God. Better, 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 better with batteries. All right. Those at home can hear. Is church important to you? Prove it. Is Bible study important to you? Prove it. Is prayer important in your life? Yeah, prove it. God wants our fellowship, and he gets our shopping lists. He just desires you, your presence. And yet, blah, 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 I want, I want, I want, I need, I need, I need, I want, I need, I need, I need. He just desires to hang out with you. God wants our trust. He gets our dissatisfaction. I don't like the way things are. I don't like the way the world is. I don't like what you're doing in my life. I don't like... And he wants your trust. God desires your cheerful giving, your first fruits. He gets the leftovers. He longs to spend time with you. You give him an hour a week, maybe if you can get here. He loves you. And you question his goodness. And you question his care. Sometimes we try very, very hard to find happiness somewhere else. And then look to God. God's rebuke to his people is pretty clear. You expected much, but you got very little. You expected much, and I blew it all away. And listen, their lack of blessing, it was not due to their bad luck. Their lack of blessing was not due to their poor planning or their poor time management or their lack of skills. It was directly related to the misplaced priorities that they had in their lives. By neglecting God's house, listen, they had cut themselves off from his favor. By neglecting God, they have cut themselves off from God's blessings. And God intervenes. And he intervenes to wake them up. Wake up. Is God showing you something today? Is God showing you something right now? Do you believe that God is active in your home? Do you believe that God is active in your life? Do you believe that God is active in the things that you're doing? Do you believe that God is active in your finances? Do you need to wake up? He will send you a wake-up call. And he's sending them a wake-up call saying, listen, you've expected much, but I blew it all away. Your priorities are not with me. Your priorities are selfish. Your priorities are about the secular, not the sacred. Are you missing blessings in your own lives because of misplaced priorities? And do you think that a wrong alignment with God, just think about that a wrong alignment with God, that you're not walking in his ways, you don't really have all the faith, you're not trying to be a disciple, you're just claiming your salvation, but you don't want to be a disciple of God. Do you think that the wrong alignment with God should receive rewards, should receive God's favor? Can you continually choose the secular over the sacred and expect God to bless you? Can you not expect God to challenge you? Can you not expect God to coach you? Should you not expect a prophet, a preacher, to challenge you in your priorities? This is why many people leave the church. Not about money. They leave the church. They don't want to get challenged. They don't want a life coach. Don't step on my toes. Don't challenge me in what I'm doing. See, they want affirmation in the things that they are doing that leads them away from God. God loves you, so he challenges you. God loves you, so he rebukes you. God loves you, so he makes you think differently. And there's a turning point. There's a turning point. Well, you're confronting you and confronting your complacency. And there's a turning point. God will challenge you in your excuses. And God will challenge you to come to action and what that looks like. You say you love me? Prove it. How do you do that? Exactly. How do you show forth the fruits of the Spirit and patience and kindness and gentleness and goodness? Exactly how do you do that? You say you have faith, but you don't live like you do. Listen, my undergraduate financial planning, the hardest thing for me to turn over, my checkbook. I saw money as security. I had my things that I wanted to accomplish, and God had to bless them. Things that I believed I needed to be successful. Listen, I wanted a car, I wanted a house, I wanted to get married. I needed a phone, I needed insurance, I need to pay the bills, I need clothes. I had little to no money to be generous. Listen carefully. I'm going to tell you how to get rich. Listen. I had little to no money to be generous. Truth is, I had no money because I wasn't generous. Many people do not have more because they do not do what's right with what they've already been given. We're all good at building ourselves up, and we ignore God. When I started to do things the way God asked me to do things, I got more money. I gave more away. And God showed up in all areas of my life. You see, God gives you 20 bucks, and all you do is whine and complain and gripe. He should give you 40. He just thinks you're going to whine and gripe and complain twice as much. See, our view of money, time, energy, very different than what God's view is of money and time and energy. How the world views money, very different. How do you view money? I had to change. I had to change my financial planning brain that I had been trained to understand everything concerning all the finances and all the money. And money is not the problem. Money was not the problem. Money is not the problem. The problem is a heart issue. See, I realized I was a damn problem. I've shared this with you before. I was a damn problem. What does that mean? That means God would resource me and I dammed it all up. I hoarded it up like a Hoover, right? Hoover Dam. I just dammed it all up. It was all for me. It's all about me. It's all about my security. It's all about what I thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you're giving me. And I dammed it all up. I could not pass anything through because it was all for me. When God can do something in you, and he does, and when he can do something through you, watch the rivers flow, baby. Watch the rivers flow. And I'm not talking just about money. God's favor showed up in relationships. It showed up in networking scenarios. It showed up in opportunities that God pronounced unto me and showed me. His favor showed up in so many more ways than money. I realized that my life was not about me. And somewhere along the line, you will get the point where you'll realize your life is not about you. If you've had children, you get a little taste of it because you realize your life's not about you anymore. It's about them, right? But what happens when those kids get old and get out of the house? What's your life about now? Your life has always been in a plan with God that he might do something in you and through you. But are you a damn problem? You hoard up all the patience that he's given you, and you receive all the patience, and thank you, Lord, for your patience, but you don't give any to the cashier at the grocery store. God's flowed his mercy upon you and flooded you with his mercy and his grace, and oh, it's so wonderful, and you bathe. You're a damn problem. Do you see? God thinks differently. And that's what Haggai is trying to say here. This is about convictions. This is about getting your priorities right and having the discipline to keep them that way. So this is going to require from you courage and faith. There's your next one. This will take courage and faith. To get your priorities right. Now listen, coming from the prophet, coming from the pastor, coming from God is get your priorities right a suggestion or a command? You get to go home and chew on that for a while. Getting your priorities a suggestion or a command? See, stepping out in faith was difficult. Showing up for prayer meetings, that can be very tough sometimes. Getting up to come here and preach these kind of messages can be very challenging at times. Studying his word, giving generously often will challenge the feelings of what it means to feel secure. Serving in your community, sacrificing the secular for the sacred. Sacrificing the secular for the sacred. It takes strength, takes faith, takes conviction. And listen, here's your next slide. Fulfillment does not come when we build for ourselves, but when we build for God. Fulfillment is not found in all the stuff. There was a big hole in my heart that I tried to fill with drugs and sex and money and everything else. There was only one way that that could be fulfilled, and that was through the Holy Spirit of God. The world does not offer this peace, this fulfillment, this satisfaction, this joyfulness. This is heart realignment with God. This is getting your priorities right with God so that God will bless you, so that God's favor will shine upon you. Our whole bodies are, in fact, the temple of God, are they not? How are you investing in this sacred place of this precious cavity of your mind? Are you spiritually building it up?
Are you attending Bible studies? Do you read the soap passages? Do you pray with somebody? Are you spiritually ignoring it and expecting God to bless it? Are you entertaining it or are you strengthening it? Are you challenging it? Are you growing and getting better? Or do you think you've already arrived? Blessings come not just in the material form, but they'll come in the sense of peace and harmony. Contentment and serenity fill the heart and fill the soul. Confidence in knowing that He is with you. And watch the effect that it has on people. Look at the effect the message had on the people in Jerusalem when God told His people, I am with you. I know your priorities are not right. Get your priorities right. Listen, I am with you. I am not wiping you out. I am not taking you away. I'm telling you, you've been working hard, but little is coming of it because your priorities are not set straight. But I am with you. The Lord says, I am with you. Don't turn away. Let the Holy Spirit of God lead you. Let the Holy Spirit of God stir you up and fill you. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to challenge you. Allow the preacher to coach you. So the people had their priorities not right, and they reset their priorities. They got a reboot, if you will. Haggai comes again and says, listen, be strong, all you people of the land, for I am with you. This is what he conveyed to them even when they were coming out of Egypt, long before they were ever captives in Babylon, and going back into, this is what I was saying to you long before you ever came back here, that I am with you. I'm always with you. Why do you turn your back on me? Why do you continue to build golden calves? Why do you turn your back on me and continue to ignore me? I love you. I am not wiping you out, but I am challenging you. I am asking of you, are you looking at me or are you looking at the world? This is the strength of their motivation. God is with them. It gets no better than this. It gets no truer than this. God is with you. God is with you. Do not fear. God is with you, Tom. Do not fear. God is with you, Hannah. Do not fear. God is with you, Jim. Do not fear. God is with you, Bob. Do not fear. God is with you, Mark. Do not fear. God is with you, Jeannie. God is with you. Insert your name here. Be strong. You can do this. Take courage. Walk faithfully. Stay confident. Trust Him. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desires of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory. He was talking about what you're building over here. I'm going to fill it up with glory. He says, the silver's all mine. The gold's all mine anyway. All of it, it's all mine. The earth is the Lord's and everything and everyone in it. What do you think you're possibly giving Him? The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. What you left, it was so magnificent that got destroyed, that you're walking back into, that it is in ruin. Build it up. It will be more glorious than what was before. And it's not about the gold, and it's not about the silver, and it's not about the stained glass and the wonderful cedar cathedrals that will be built. This temple that they were building in no way even came close to the splendor of the one that Solomon had built. Not even close. What they were building now was built with hand-me-downs. It was built with the remnants of what was left in the ruins. If I'm a temple, God has built me up with that which was left in the ruins, upside down to the world. I may not look so pretty, I may not sound so pretty, but God built me up out of the ruins of my life. This message, your next one, is one of covenant and promise. He said he would. He said he was with us. God said he was with me, and I was stupid enough to believe it. And he changed my life. If you would be so faithful enough to believe it, it will change your life. God is all powerful. God is always present. He is the great I am. He is the all in all. He is beyond time. And what he's speaking to them about getting their priorities right and building this up out of the ruins is 500 years before the glory of Christ walks through that temple. In all the splendor of Solomon's temple, never saw Christ. This remnant building up out of the ruins, Christ would walk through, touch the walls, and preach on the steps. I hope you can grab hold of this. I've touched on it already, but your life has eternal value. You can grab hold of God's plan, and God's plan is a long-range plan. It's not just about what happens in heaven. Your eternal life begins now. Your effect on eternity begins now. God was moving in Haggai to tell them to get their priorities straight, that they needed to do what needs to be done, that they needed to accomplish what needs to be accomplished because of what's going to happen centuries from now. I'm counting on you to do your part, to get your priorities right, because the glory of Christ is going to walk through this place. You need to get it set, and you need to do it now, and it's way beyond your lifetime. The glory that I'm going to show about the foundation that you have built. Did you ever even begin to think that your life and your involvement would affect someone decades later? You must be open to doing your part now to accomplish God's plans, even if they're later. His kingdom at work beyond you, but yet because of you. You must be willing to do your part to value someone else that maybe even goes beyond your own understanding and your own sight. This is God's heritage. This is God's legacy. This is God's inheritance and God's family by the Spirit. Very different than what we think of. Our heritage and our legacy is by blood. He calls you family. You are in his inheritance. You are his heritage. You are his legacy. And he's counting on you to do your part to increase the family, to increase the bloodline. Can you begin to see that what God was doing in them, he wanted to do something through them? Because it wasn't just about them. It's not just about you. It's about what God wants to do in you so that he can do something through you. It's about the future. It's about people. It's about other people. In that particular man, it was about the Messiah. It was about the Messiah that's going to come and walk and preach and speak about something that they could not even see, but they believed in. They would work diligently for it. Though they get their priorities messed up from time to time, though they get sidetracked in the world from time to time, God calls them back. Come back. Come back. What you're doing is vital. What I'm asking of you is vital, and it goes beyond who you are. God has all of eternity in mind. Do you? Do your part that all eternity would come to pass. What they did then had an impact directly on you. Your life will have impact throughout eternity. Listen, not just in heaven, where you think that's eternity. Your eternity is now. It begins now. You're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, been reborn, dead to self. I walk in God's ways. I follow God's priorities. I desire to do things God's way. Why? So that It can be beyond me. God can go beyond me. You can impact the return of Christ. What are we waiting for now? I'm waiting for him to come back, baby. Anybody believe Jesus is coming back? We believe he's coming back, baby. I want to have an impact, even if it's not in my lifetime. Do you get it? Do you understand it? Why he's calling them at that particular time? Get your priorities right. You're living in the secular. I need you to live in the sacred. I've got things I want to accomplish that go way beyond your lifetime. He's saying the same thing to you. Christ is coming. Christ is coming. Let's get ready. Let's get our priorities right. Establishing his kingdom and building his kingdom. His chosen people, you are his chosen people. You are his heritage and his legacy. Encouragement for those to act into God's plan, not my plan. My plan's maybe got 100 years and another generation. Maybe. He's got generations upon generations upon generations that he wants you to be a part of. We hear it all the time. Hey, we stand on the shoulders of those that have gone before us. Ever hear that? Who's going to stand on your shoulders? Jesus himself would walk through that temple that they would built out of the ruins. And Jesus himself would walk through this temple that I called my own, built up out of the ruins. Thank God, thank God, thank God. How many salvations, how many baptisms, how many rebirths will come because you were faithful in the Lord? You were faithful to the Lord with your money, with your time, with your energy, with your prayers, with your evangelism. See, when God makes a promise, it is fulfilled. God's greatest promise is that of Jesus. That whoever believes in him and believes he is the Son of God will be saved. They will be reborn. They will be transformed and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God for all of eternity. You shall never die. That's the promise of the covenant. And we're stuck thinking about entertainment in the secular world. Get on board with what God is thinking. And God's desire is to bless you in abundance. God's desire is to reward you over and over and over again. That you would be a conduit, that you would flow through you. God's desire is to show the world who he is through you. For whatever reason, he's chosen that path. I will show the world who I am through you. God is building with a purpose. He's building you with a purpose. He's building this congregation for a purpose. And he wants you to follow his ways for a purpose that may be bigger than anything you can think, ask, or imagine. You are called to make an eternal, lasting decision. Set your priorities. Set your priorities. How are you going to set your priorities? In what area might you need to realign yourself with God? Let me pray for you. Father, in this place, this very day, I thank you for the challenge. I thank you for the coaching, Lord. Along the way, you have coached me, mentored me, shaped me, molded me, challenged me, all along the way. And Father, I am grateful that you forgive me for those times when I've fallen short. And I thank you for those times when you have encouraged me and strengthened me to walk in your ways when it took everything I had. I pray, Father, you would continue to minister into each and every one of us. Reveal to us that which you desire for us to know, how we might realign ourselves with you. And Father, as we trust in you, we'll trust in you for our eternal lives. And Father, works in you for lives that are beyond our own. You do great works. We come before you with thanksgiving and praise in the name of your Son. Amen. God bless you guys.